Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. It's hard to believe that we're only 1 week into Donald Trump's presidency and everything that's unfolded already. In 1 week, no more DEI in the government, and this is having massive ripples out into the world and corporate world, with Walmart and Target, amongst many others, shuttering their DEI offices and trainings. And no more biological men and women and girls sports and locker rooms. Yay! I don't have a daughter, but if I did, I wouldn't want a bunch of dudes pretending to be women in there with her. Gross. We're going back to common sense, Base Campers. Pete Hegseth was just confirmed as Secretary of Defense, and he's all about getting woke leadership and trainings out of the military. We're going to start to see the American military flex again. Oh, and President Trump is bringing back all the military that refused the jab for religious or personal reasons with full back pay. That's awesome. And just, by the way. And mass deportations of illegal criminals has started, and this will go on for quite some time, I would imagine. America is not the kind of place for open borders. The good president has sent the Marines to the southern border. You think that's going to change the feel down there? Sometimes you have to show strength and back it up. It worked well for Ronald Reagan, and it works well for President Trump. Now we seem to be in a sort of reset, not the great reset engineered by the globalists and World Economic Forum and sociopaths like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates. This reset is an American renewal and a return to our republic, I believe. We're still in the early innings with a lot of game theory left to be played out, but I sure like what I'm seeing from our team so far. And I have some good news. I've been hired by the King County Republican Party to write, produce, and host a new podcast that we're calling The American Pulse. More details to come, but we are actively working on our first three episodes, and I'll keep you updated in the days to come. Today's episode is with a military veteran whose father turned him on to Bitcoin. An interesting interview with an American veteran who is on a noble mission. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Gabe Lord. Gabe is a father, a veteran, and an expert in leadership training. He also pioneered the nation's first state-approved Bitcoin education program for veterans. Here is my interview with Gabe Lord.
All right, I am here with Gabe Lord, father, Bitcoiner, patriot, and veteran. Gabe Lord, Gabe, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for having me today, Tony.
Yeah, you know, I've done a number of episodes over the last two or three seasons on Bitcoin. It's not a Bitcoin-only show, but I like to do different takes on it. And I saw that you had founded Operation Bitcoin to help veterans understand and adopt Bitcoin. I thought, hey, here's a really interesting angle. I love that you're a patriot and a veteran. So thank you for your service, first of all, to this great nation. And thank you for everything you're doing right now in the space, in the Bitcoin space, to help veterans.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that I can do to continue serving my fellow brothers and sisters in arms is it's always an honor to have an opportunity to engage with them.
Now, first off, like, how did you, like, I guess, give us a little bit of a background. Where do you live? Where did you grow up? How did you serve? What branch of the military do you serve? Do you have kids, and where do you live now?
Sure. Yeah. So, I was born into a military family, way back in the 1900s in San Diego. My dad was a career Navy guy. He was a Mustang, started out enlisted, worked through the warrant ranks, and then retired as an officer. So grew up in the Navy. So of course, when the time came for me to serve, I decided that it was going to be the Army for me. Hmm. And so this was back in 2003. We were gearing up for the invasion into Iraq. And I was at the ripe young age of 27 years old at the time, and decided that if I was going to serve, then that was my moment. So I already had two kids at home, and went ahead and joined. Found myself at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, in May of 2003. I was the oldest person in my basic training group, which was an interesting situation and an amazing challenge. But I was able to hang with the kids and go ahead and make it through, and then became a logistician. So I was a 92 Alpha automated logistics specialist in the Army. And served for 9 years. The last 3 years of my active duty time was actually as a recruiter, which is not something that about 99.9% of people volunteer for. I was voluntold, as many people are in the military, for most of the things that we do.
Yeah.
And that actually brought me to Georgia, which is where I live now. So they sent me to Southwest Georgia to recruit here, and by this time had three kids, and the two older ones had been through the experiences of dad being gone, of me going to combat, of me being gone, TDY training, and we had been through some challenges, of course, that that anybody who's in the military would understand. Mm-hmm. and realized that we had found a place here in Southwest Georgia that was home, and we had built relationships. We found a great church family to get involved in, and we just decided, you know what, it's time to take off the boots and go ahead and rejoin the civilian world. And so that's what I did, and that was in 2012.
Mm.
So we're here now, and we have been since. And this is home.
How did your Bitcoin journey go? Like, what was the first, you know, the first way, you know, that first mention where you're like, what is this? It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you get that first, like, Bitcoin, what the heck? Why do I keep seeing that on the radar? What is it? And then was there a person? Was there a set of videos? Was it Sailor? Was it Breedlove? Like, what first pulled you in and kind of started you on your orange pill journey where you decided to, I want to roll up my sleeves and kind of understand this better? Because I think that's a common thing with Bitcoiners is, you know, you might miss the first one. You know, I had my friend Ben was telling me about it way back in the day, and I'm like, he described it to me, and I'm like, that just sounds insane. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You are speaking another language. I could never see this being a thing, right? And now I laugh about it with Ben because he's like, he goes, but that's how it is with everybody. You got to hear it the first time. Somebody tries to convince you. It sounds crazy. And then hopefully, God willing, you hear it again and again enough where you roll up your sleeves and say, let me take a serious look at this because I'm not putting any of my hard-earned, fiat towards it until I understand it better. And so it takes, you know, it takes something, right? And so how did your journey go? What happened? Who was the person, place, or thing that did that for you?
Yeah, great question. A few years ago, I guess, I'm still relatively new compared to some people, but of course, as it turns out, I think we have still have a lot of people that are getting ready to be new into this adventure, if you will. But I was running operations for a company I was working for here in Georgia, and our IT guy, he was a cool guy. We used to talk about music, and he was a guitarist in a band, and I love music, and we would always chit chat, and he started talking to me about Bitcoin. He's like, have you heard about this thing? And I was like, yeah, you know, I've kind of seen it on the internet. People talk about it. Apparently, you know, a bunch of people are getting scammed, and it's a ripoff, and you know, it's this magic weird internet thing. And he started to kind of plant some seeds and tell me about it, and it was blowing my mind. And I'm like, okay, I don't know, because he was including things like NFTs and other types of coins that we all know are worthless. And so it didn't seem right. So I just put it to the side. And then, my father started talking to me about it actually. And as I mentioned, he's an old military guy. He's a crusty old, you know, Navy dude. And the thing about him is he also happens to be the smartest person that I know. He's extremely intelligent. He worked on communications. He engineered communication systems, Iridium satellites, things like that, and other things we can't talk about. But he's a really smart guy. And he started telling me about it as he was studying it. And he had read a book called The Price of Tomorrow by Jeff Booth. Yep. And recommended it to me. And so it's like, all right, Pop, you know, I'll check it out. That's cool. It sounds really neat. And got into it, read the book, completely devoured it. And it just, everything started clicking. And if anybody that's listening to this has not read that book, read the book.
Yeah,
it's a game changer. It'll completely shift your perspective. And for me, it really cultivated the earth of my mind and got me ready to really dive in and start studying things. And the moment that it really kicked in was as I got into it, I began to realize that yes, Bitcoin is actually money. And I remember when that moment hit me, when I said, wow, okay, this actually does meet all the criteria for something to be money. And I remember calling up my father and I was like, hey, Pop, I was like, you know, this Bitcoin thing, it actually is money. And he's like, yes, and I know. It really is money. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And he's like, yeah, keep studying, son. And I was like, all right. So kept studying. And then it dawned on me what it's really about. And so then I called my dad back and I said, Pop, this is more than about money. This is about freedom, isn't it? And he's like, yeah. This is about freedom. This is more than just, you know, people investing and trading and getting rich. This really is about freedom and people having the ability to find freedom in a way that humanity may not have ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. And that's really when the light came on for me. Now, it's funny because when my father and I had that conversation and you know, he had been holding me down, like pouring Bitcoin in my ear until the lights finally came on. And when they did, I was like, well, we need to do something with this, Pop. And, like I said, he's a veteran and he helps veterans, with their disability claims. He helps them get their things processed and so forth. And I've been working with transitioning service members who have been leaving the military since I got out, coaching them and doing other things we can get into if you'd like. But I realized that there's something here for veterans to get plugged into, because if this is about freedom, then obviously there's a mission here that needs to be engaged in to bring people to this freedom. And so that was really my orange pill experience, and what set me on fire for it and what continues to be my motivation is serving veterans in a way that is going to bring them to that new level of freedom where they can also serve others to do the same for them.
Absolutely. What a great mission. And is it growing in the veteran community? Do you feel like that servicemen and women are open to the conversation about Bitcoin? Like, is that something that they're leaning into? I would think it would be a natural fit for all the reasons that you mentioned.
It really is. It really is. And I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to find when I started digging into this. And so I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, and I know some people call it the Boomer Network, but the reality is there are millions of veterans on there. And so I began researching people, searching in there for people that had the word Bitcoin somewhere in their profile, and also had been at some point in their lives, or even currently, had been in the military. And I began finding people, quite a few people, as a matter of fact, and then just started reaching out to them, just out of, you know, just cold contact. Hey, what's going on? I see you're a veteran, and I see that you're into Bitcoin. That's me also. Can we talk? And I mean, that people were so responsive to this, it was great. And so quickly found myself, plugged into a community of veterans who were all Bitcoiners, and found out pretty quickly that there were a lot of us. And so we actually have a mission now as what we call ourselves, Bitcoin veterans. And so we now go out and we do everything that we can to find other veterans and to bring them onto the mission as well. But that community itself is growing fast. I mean, we've been communicating with one another every single day for well over a year now, and we just It's amazing. We have people coming to us and asking us about it. We have veterans that are reaching out to me on LinkedIn now every single day asking me about it. But it's like you said, there's a natural alignment because as soon as they recognize the implications on freedom, then naturally our mission-oriented mindset is going to engage, and we're going to know that this is something that we need to be a part of.
Is what kinds I imagine it's Operation Bitcoin is evolving. Like, it sounds like it was first like, let's put a flag in there. Like, this is where veterans can come learn about Bitcoin or find other Bitcoiners so that we have all these great, this great community of people and calling others to come over. But can veterans, plug into, is it a way for them to learn? You know what I mean? Like, they would maybe click on some videos to understand what it is, or can they get coaching in terms of like, look, I've got all these sats on Coinbase and it's growing. I don't want to leave them on the exchange. I'm starting to read how the heck do I pick a wallet and how do I start to self custody? Can they learn those kinds of things? Is there a coaching thing there for them? What times of things are kind of evolving with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. So, I've been involved in my civilian life after leaving the military has been one that has been coaching, professional training, leadership development, organization development, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where my mind went was, okay, what's the best way for me to use the talents and the gifts that I have and to have Bitcoin be the centerpiece for those things. And so naturally it was, okay, well, I'm a trainer. I like to train people and develop them and coach them. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I began to seek out avenues to travel to make that happen. And I found an organization called Mi Primer Bitcoin. That's Spanish for my first Bitcoin. They're based in El Salvador, started up by John Dennehy, who's a visionary in the Bitcoin education space. And it's all open source education. It's free to anybody who wants to pursue it. And so he and I started having conversations, and it's been an interesting relationship because he's actually very historically he has been very anti-establishment, to include military, and it's kind of funny that when I was serving in the military, he was protesting in Occupy Wall Street. And it was funny because we had this conversation. We were hiking together earlier this year, and we were having this conversation how we're two individuals that are very different from one another in many surface level ways.
Sure.
But we found that through Bitcoin, we have much, much more in common than we would have realized that we would not have realized any other way. And so we started having conversations, and he invited me to become a part of his network of educators with Mi Primer Bitcoin. And so there's an application process, and they review it and interviews and all those things. They're diligent about it. And so I was approved as a node within the Mi Primer Bitcoin network, and have been building that out ever since. And that was late 2023, actually. And so yeah, the focus is on education. That's where it started out. And as we began to share the Bitcoin message with veterans, one of the things that we realized was that the education itself was great, and it's introductory, and it helps them understand how to interact, and it teaches them about wallets and cold storage and all of the things that we need to know to get going with Bitcoin. But then many of them started asking, well, how can I get on the mission? How can I plug into this? I want to contribute. I want to do something. I want to work for a Bitcoin company. I want to teach people also. And so then we began to lean towards career support and then building relationships with large Bitcoin employers and startup Bitcoin employers to create talent pipelines for them to deliver veterans into their employment.
Love it. Yeah. That's fantastic. You know, shifting gears just a little bit, you know, I'm plugged into all kinds of, you know, forums, Bitcoin, you know, all kinds of different scenarios and philosophies. You know, there's a whole philosophy, philosophical underpinnings of Bitcoin, a little bit of what you had mentioned. It's like this freedom technology, and with, you could see with protocols like Nostr as well, that there's what's your take on, you know, there's this philosophical overview that Bitcoin really was created by the military, by the white hats, that you know, nobody really knows who Satoshi is. People that say he's some one dude, one coder in a basement, I think miss the larger, it's becoming too important for one person to have done that. And I think that as advanced as the military is in cryptography, in coding, in technology, always way ahead of what you see in the civilian world. We saw that with the internet. And I believe we're seeing it now with Bitcoin, with the origin story. I do not think is correct that it was just some one person or a small team. Mm-hmm. I believe it was created by, you know, coders, the very talented coders that the military would have. And people say, you know, Bitcoin is really a Trojan horse. The money is a Trojan horse. What it really is a full frontal assault on the deep state. Their crooked, corrupt money. The Federal Reserve. It's also a full frontal assault because of the things that could get built on a decentralized, honest ledger. It's a full mm-hmm. frontal assault on anything that's centralized. So that would be Google and Meta, and that would be things like centralized media. You're already seeing this kind of revolution with decentralization is the theme. And because Bitcoin is this incorruptible ledger, you could start to see an alternate kind of system being built with sound money, sound systems. It'll go into voting. It'll go into, you know, healthcare. There is not a corrupt system that won't be transformed by it. And so I don't know about you. I get a little giddy on the freedom stuff. And I get a little giddy because it seems to tie together so many things that I care about, this nation, having we the people have an honest money and an honest crack at things without the deep state's corrosive money, where we just have to work like dogs, you know, barely scratching, you know, barely able to get ahead. Like all of that, I can see the kind of the dawn of a new day where it's like, look, Bitcoin really is the orange sun right now that we're all heading towards. And I believe that it comes with a lot of other things that right now aren't completely evident. I know that's a long riff, and you can jump in any point that speaks to you, but I just wanted to give a larger overview of like what it could really be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are some excellent points. And I have heard, and I've heard many, many takes on several of those. One of them being, the origin story about Satoshi and or CIA or whomever, and really what I've come to accept as reality is that it's like talking about who invented fire. Mm-hmm. At this point, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's like talking about who invented gravity. These things, they exist now. And yep. The proof is there. And we have some very highly intelligent people that have picked this apart from the Genesis block to now. Yep. And everything about the code. And it is what it is. And it's running. And this is something that is not going to be able to be stopped. And then people say, well, what happens if the internet goes down? If the internet goes down, you've got a lot bigger problem because that means that they've taken down the entire grid on a planetary scale and also extraplanetary to include our satellites. So we've got more issues than that. You need something something that moves at a higher rate.
Gabe, I saw somebody asked one of the AI things like, can Bitcoin be stopped? And it said only if every government collaborates. A internet shutdown an internet shutdown and it stays off forever. That's the only way that you could, you know, and to your point, there's stuff that's out in, you know, Space Force has got blockchain out in outer space. So, you know, even that is probably a slim chance, but I mean, just the, the government, all governments coordinating a shutdown just makes you laugh. Right.
So, for them to coordinate a barbecue would be a miracle.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, but an additional point, there have been successful instances of people transacting with Bitcoin using radio frequencies. And so with these radios can be charged through solar charging, and have long life batteries, and people actually are transacting in Bitcoin using radio frequencies, specifically mesh chastic radios. So it's happening. And we have a group of veterans who put it to the test, during the response phase to the hurricane damage up in North Carolina this year. And so it is taking place. So it's kind of like that line from Jurassic Park where they say life will find a way. Bitcoin is going to find a way, because one of the cool things about it is it has sparked a new level of human innovation that I don't think we have seen since the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And the potential of humanity is really being realized again in a way that we have not seen in hundreds of years, if ever.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most fascinating things about it, is when we really tap into the creativity that is housed within the human mind and within the human soul, I think that we are unstoppable as people. And that fire is lit, and people are on this mission. And I don't believe that humans can be stopped. When we are inspired and when we're motivated to act the way that we are called to act now, I don't think that it is stoppable. But I'm somewhat of a proponent of freedom myself, as I may have indicated. And that really is, to me, what I believe is the greatest power that we see here. And I want to touch just a minute on not only the impact that Bitcoin has on us here in the United States, but in places all over the world. I mean, we really are seeing this as a gateway to freedom that some people have never, ever known in their regions of the planet. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I feel should be factored into the larger equation when we talk about the impact that it's having, because not only is it something that can preserve, protect, and defend the freedom that we have here, but it's also something that can introduce freedom, that is actually introducing freedom in parts of the world that have never known it before.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Gabe. I love that you're tapping into the excitement and the optimism that is part of the Bitcoin space. And also, there's just, you had mentioned it earlier, some of the smartest people I know are in the Bitcoin space, you know, it's like that. And it's like that kind of that keen intelligence, intuition, but also optimism, because I mean, I've said before, you know, Americans, we're naturally an optimistic people, and they've tried to really snuff that out over the past, couple decades. You know,
Definitely. You could
really see this kind of demoralizing imagery in the media. They've really come at our kids with just weird ideas of reality. And so, you know, for us to have, you know, a space where people can be like optimistic about the future, like I'm building something that is going to be better. Look at what's emerging. That's all so exciting for people. What do you see for 2025? You know, I was a little bit cautious leading up to the election because I felt like there was one side that had Bitcoiners. I think Trump had made an appearance at Nashville Bitcoin conference. Mm-hmm. He certainly has people around him that hold Bitcoin and are pro Bitcoin. I think they've been a little bit not quite wanting to show their hand too much, but I think now as we get closer, there's a ton of optimism. There's talk. I saw the Senator Loomis, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, said we're going to introduce a strategic Bitcoin reserve for the United States in the first 100 days. Mm-hmm. That seems very, very plausible to me. And I think as more companies start to put it on their treasury and on their balance sheet, I think it's going to be a stampede. If the United States adopts it as a strategic reserve and the Senate passes that, and you start to see the United States really start to stack sats, Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a stampede in 2025, and I think it's going to impact the price and a lot of other things. I think development in the Bitcoin space will be rapid at that point. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you mm-hmm. see in 2025, 2026. What do we got coming in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I would definitely say that we're moving in the right direction. I was at the conference when Trump spoke and he made his announcements up in Nashville. And I can tell you the response there on the ground was very positive. Of course, there is a certain level of skepticism. And I think that that's a healthy thing that we should have, especially when it's election season. And, you know, politicians are kind of known to say whatever they need to say to get themselves elected, even if it's, even if it's somebody who's normally a straight shooter like Trump.
Yeah.
But and I'm definitely one of those people that is approaching things still with a healthy skepticism, mm-hmm. Because I don't have a whole lot of trust for politicians. Call me mm-hmm. crazy, but yep. But I do feel like we're moving in the right direction. And one of the things that is proving that is the decisions that Trump is making on who he is surrounding himself with. He's got people like Tulsi Gabbard, who is openly a Bitcoiner. JD Vance is openly a Bitcoiner. RFK Jr. I mean, all of these individuals, not only are they probably smarter than him, but they also understand Bitcoin to a deeper level than he does, sure. which is great.
Yeah.
And I was actually just having a conversation with a friend earlier that, I mean, that is a sign of effective leadership, is when you're not intimidated to bring people around you that are smarter than you, and you know it and everybody else knows it. That's a sign of strength, and that's a good thing. And I think that's a good indicator of his intentions, in addition to obviously his statements that he has made about being very, very Bitcoin friendly. And he seems to be refining his language. He started out a little bit general with saying he was going to be crypto friendly, but yeah. I think he's got enough people around him saying, no, yep. It's just Bitcoin. Everything else is garbage. We're just focused on Bitcoin. But yeah.
I saw Eric Trump gave a talk recently. I can't remember where that was. I think it was over in Dubai, maybe. But he gave a talk over there at a Bitcoin conference, and he has a much more nuanced understanding of Bitcoin in his language to me.
Yeah.
So I think, Trump's just such an old, he's an old real estate billionaire, an old developer from Manhattan. I mean, that's where he cut his teeth. People kind of forget that, he's not a natural to be like spending a whole lot of time listening to Michael Saylor videos, where some of the other guys you mentioned, they've probably been down the rabbit hole a little more. Maybe they got a little more bandwidth than he does. I mean, I think he's just like, my people are going to tell me if it's important. And I think he's hearing it from his inner circle. It's really important, Pops, And yeah. Go ahead.
And that's part of it. And that's something that everyone needs to overcome, is their mental models that they've been operating with. I mean, you have to remember, I mean, he's been operating under the same mental models for longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And so that stuff, it's hardwired into people, and it takes a little bit of an adjustment, and some people get further than others, some not at all. But I do give him credit for him stepping out and doing what he's doing. And obviously he realizes that it's a crowd pleaser and that it's going to be beneficial for him. And that's good, because I do believe that he has good intentions for our country.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that, brother. So just wrapping up, Gabe, where can people find you? What kind of things you got? This episode, just so you know, I'm on sabbatical just for a few weeks. I always take Christmas off so I can catch my breath. I don't do any writing. But as we inch closer to the middle of January, season 7 will start. We'll have Trump's inauguration. And this episode will come out towards the end of January. So just to give you a heads up that's when this will air, and just let us know, where can people find you? What do you got going on? Where do you want people to click as we turn the calendar to the new year?
Yeah, outstanding. So yeah, we're on the internet, of course, operationbitcoin.io. operationbitcoin.io. That's our website. Our mission statement is on there. For anyone who wants to get involved, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so we always welcome support for anyone who would like to get plugged in. We're also on LinkedIn. Like I said, we're heavily active on there. We're building quite a community there, as well. And of course, Twitter, @op_Bitcoin. We are on there. And I also want to encourage everybody to take a look at our larger community of veterans that I mentioned earlier. It's called Bitcoin Veterans. Best place to find them. is on X. I think I said Twitter before. I'm stuck in that habit, but hop on there. It's really easy to remember, Bitcoin Veterans. So we work very closely together. They're my friends. I'm a co-founding member of that group as well. But yep, we're all over social media. We're on the internet. A couple things that I just want to highlight that we have coming up, starting out in 25, is there is a Veteran Education Career Training Resource Center. It's the acronym is VECTOR. It's here in Georgia. And it's run by the Technical College System of Georgia. And we tested out a few sessions there this year. And they just put us on the training calendar for January through June. So this is the first state-approved veteran training program that is officially offering Bitcoin education for military veterans. So we're on the calendar for January through June. Those dates are going to be on our website. And also, we are launching our virtual sessions in January as well. So our first one kicks off in January, and then we'll have them on a rolling cycle that overlaps. So there will be multiple opportunities throughout the year for veterans to get plugged in. And I do want to point out that we are not going to charge veterans for anything. Our funders take care of that. Our donors are very generous. They believe in our mission, and they are very supportive. And so they make it possible for us to deliver this service to veterans. This includes the career services. This includes anything that we do with veterans. We're not going to ask for any money. So this is something that we do because we believe in supporting our fellow veterans. And so, yep, that's keep an eye on us on social media. It's 2025 is going to be an exciting year.
Absolutely. Well, Gabe, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp for Men, sharing your insight and your wisdom. I love your mission. We're so supportive of you and what you're doing. And just keep up the great work. And we'll just keep track of one another. And have a Merry Christmas, you and your beautiful family. And we'll just we'll speak to you in the new year.
Outstanding. Thanks, Tony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I also highly recommend the book that Gabe mentioned, The Price of Tomorrow by Jeff Booth. It will help fill in some of the blanks like it did for Gabe, myself, and countless others. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.